RFI, which is a kind of market research exercise to see who might bid for a certain project. And the RFI is to create an upper level ontology for the intelligence community and test it. And anybody who submits has to agree to use BFO. And the total funding that would be made available if they ever approve this is $1/3 of $1 billion.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big project.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't think it will happen, but it's an interesting happenstance.
So Barry, why don't you tell a little bit about yourself, and then Austin can introduce himself and share some information. And just so everybody knows, we're recording the call, so don't say anything you don't want to have recorded.
So I've been working in ontology now for more than 40 years. In the last 12 years, primarily with biological and medical projects. And I guess my main ideas are, one, that we should all use BFO, which is basic formal ontology, as a common top-level ontology so that we guarantee a certain consistency with the domain ontologies, which use BFO as their starting point. And the second idea is illustrated by the Oboe Foundry, to which the plant ontology belongs. And the Oboe Foundry is an initiative to bring together people building ontologies who agree that their ontologies should be built in such a way that they are compatible with each other and follow the same principles. And that both of those ideas are now being accepted by larger communities. So I have a project with the United Nations. I have several projects with the military. And of course, I have all the projects that I work with involving biology or medicine.
You do a lot in the biomedical field, right, Barry?
Yeah,
a lot of advising. So Barry was a big part of the plant ontology project that we did for the last 4 or 5 years. And now he's a consultant on the project for the plant. Hi, Dennis.
Hello, Dennis.
Yeah, I almost forgot or something.
Yeah, you always come just a bit too late for the really exciting stuff.
Okay, well, you know, that's the way it goes.
Stephen Sims, he's from the New York Botanic Garden. We have a new face on the team today. This is Austin Myers.
Oh, hi there.
Yeah. Dennis, can you just give us I don't mean to put you on the spot just when you got on the call, but you want to give us a quick rundown of who you are, what your research areas are, and...
Yeah, I'm Dennis Stevenson. I'm a botanist, so... classically trained and now in the molecular world. So, you know, I don't know.
You're at New York Botanic Garden.
Oh yeah. Right. I'm at the New York Botanical Garden in the Bronx. And I guess, you know, current work has now gone over to Evo Devo, but I was actually trained as a classical morphologist anatomist. And then I was in the phylogenetics world for a long time. And, I edit a couple journals. I edit Botanical Review, and I edit Cladistics, which is a phylogenetics thing. And I've been on the ontology grant for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sort of now into the, I'll tell you where I'm, what I'm thinking about, you know, for the project. We're sort of trying to, I want to try to do more imaging this time around and try to link GO terms to PO terms via images. So we're thinking, for example, we started some machine learning things with Justin last time around, which we'd like to pursue. But I also want to take things where we know the GO terms and we know the anatomical structures or morphological structures. And I would like to start imaging not just the structures, but also using in situs. So we would image an in situ. We would have a line art image, which is often very useful for just beginning to learn about things. And then we would probably have some images of the actual structures and maybe more than one to show where there's some variability to capture that. Yeah. But that's.
And can you give me an example of a GO term that you think would work very well?
Yeah, for example, there's these Knox genes that are responsible for leaf initiation. So then what we could do is we could talk about the go terms with the leaf initiation and the developmental things. We could show a nice microscope section showing a leaf primordium with a scanning electron micrograph. And then one of my colleagues works with those in terms of the in situs. So we could show the gene activity at the same time. So it's sort of, it's just an idea that I really want to pursue because I think it'll be very useful for people working in plant development and even in animal development.
The so interesting you need videos, really.
Pardon?
You need videos.
No. Just static pictures.
We have done some videos, yeah.
Well, like, you know, a video of a developing leaf would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
One of the things I realized recently, because I'm on a search committee for what they call an Uber curator down at the American Museum, in trying to bring together collections with, you know, phylogenomics and transcriptomes and that sort of things, and genes responsible for structures, it ends up the botanists are way ahead of the zoologists. I didn't know that. Particularly in looking outside of model species. So then I realized if we wanted to stay ahead, we would do these kind of things too.
There's a really big push in the botanical area in terms of like herbariums going online. They're digitizing everything. So the ontologies fit really nicely into this because they need to be talking about the same terms and the same structures and so on.
Yes.
So yeah, it's great. And we'll come back to updates about hiring and so on. But
well, I've got a great candidate, and I'm going to interview her.
Oh, okay.
She's actually in Utah right now.
Oh, okay. Is this the same one?
It's going to be another Ramona, I think, in a sense, excellent. In terms of skills.
We always need another Ramona.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, she's got the botanical background that we need, but is sort of got a foot into this modern stuff.
Excellent.
So I'm pretty excited about her.
Yeah. Is this the lady that was from Florida?
No, this one's actually in Utah right now. Oh, she did her PhD at Rancho Santa Ana using a lot of developmental anatomy and molecular approaches in irises.
Oh.
Iridaceae. But, you know, she's got the right background in the flowering plants for what we need.
Great. Great.
So, and I know her major professor quite well. And I know the person she started a postdoc with, who's actually was a postdoc with myself and Dave Jackson at Cold Spring Harbor a few years ago. So he's very much into the Evo Devo side of it. So she kind of is an unusual student that's going to have both of these thought patterns and background.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Well, keep us posted how that
panel. I shall do.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. And we saw you wore your green shirt today because you are a botanist.
Yeah, of course. Oh, and I have one last little thing for you to remember. Okay. You can always say this since we have a new person. Plants are not optional.
I think Austin probably agrees on that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, these zoologists, you got to beat them down, man. They don't understand.
So Dennis is great if you have any questions about, you know, arcane plant structures or when we were working on the plant ontology, he was a really big contributor to the work, the development of the plant ontology, especially in the lower plants, because that's an area that a lot of people like myself, that's more trained in the crop plants and the model plants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when we get down to like the mosses and the lycophytes, it's really important to have someone from the garden involved and with Dennis's expertise. So
the great thing is working with people like Barry too, because they learn how to put things into context that makes sense.
Yeah. we have a really great team for the planting.
Yeah, we do.
And it's even, you know, we had a great team for the planetology and now it's even wider and more interesting. Okay. So let's move along. Who wants to go next? Marie Angelique, do you want to introduce? I know we've been through this before, but it'd be nice for Austin to hear who everybody is. And
so, yeah, sure. So I'm Marie-Angélique. I work in France with Elisabeth Arnaud at Biodiversity International. And, yeah, I have a PhD in ecological informatics. And I work with ontologies and plant threats mainly during my PhD. So now I'm working on the crop ontology project. So the crop ontologies are tiny crop-specific ontologies about plant traits. And yeah, I'm working on that and how we can map those ontologies to the reference ontologies.
Yeah, and you're also involved in the wheat data project that I'm working on, and Marie Angelique will be at the meeting that I'm going to next week in Paris. Yes. So we'll see each other in Paris. We're actually staying in the same hotel.
Yeah.
So we've been working closely. Elizabeth is the other PI, one of the other PIs on the project, who's the head of the crop ontology, and she is traveling today, I believe, somewhere. Yeah. She travels a lot. So it's great that we have Marie Angelique on the team to come and kind of keep us up to date with what's going on there. And the other people in the group there are Leo Vallette.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the crop ontology actually is you'll learn more about it as we move ahead, but they're part of the centers. How do you say the CGIAR? What's the full name for that?
No, it's an acronym, but I don't know for what it stands for.
All the centers around the world that work on the different crops, like CIMMYT. Mm-hmm. CIMMYT is the maize center in Mexico. Mm-hmm. You might know about the potato center down in Peru. Mm-hmm. So Elizabeth's team coordinates with all these people around the world, IRI in the Philippines, mm-hmm. that specializes in the rice. So she has this huge, diverse group of people involved with this project. And there's curators from each of those centers that work on those different crops. So there's a fellow that works on potatoes from SIP and the CIMMYT folks. We work really closely with them, who work on maize and wheat.
Yeah.
And then ICRISAT is in India. There's about a dozen of the centers around the world. Yeah.
Yeah, 15.
15? Yeah. So it's a pretty diverse group and specializing in all different crops. So they're breeding. Basically, they have breeding programs at each of those centers, and they have lists of traits. And they've developed this, what's called the trait template, and you can learn more about that. It's basically an Excel spreadsheet that the breeder uses to enter information about the traits that they're interested. And then Marie Angelique is helping us work with those breeders and those they're basically trait dictionaries, mm-hmm. and mapping them to our reference ontologies. So mapping them to the TO and the plant ontology, the trait ontology and the plant ontology. And eventually the disease ontology will be something that we'll be kind of cross-linking to. So, yeah. So, Justin, do you want to say hi? We haven't seen much of you for the last couple of weeks, and great to have you on the call.
Yeah, nice to be back. Still trying to get back in the things.
This is Austin. I don't know if you guys have actually seen each other. I know you talked.
Yeah, we met once.
Yeah, we briefly chatted over Justin Priest's computer.
Yeah. So kind of tell Austin what your background is and what your role is.
Okay, Justin Elser. My degrees are actually in physics. I did computational optics. But I have a lot of background in system administration and cluster computing. So Punkage hired me to help out with that stuff.
Yeah. Speaking of the devil, here he is.
Come on, everyone.
Hi.
Mary and Dennis are here, Marie Angelique. So, okay. So we just kind of went around and did introductions.
And I'm the project.
So Austin's going to introduce himself. Yeah. And tell us a little bit about your background.
All right. I'm Austin. As you might have gathered, I worked on potatoes for my PhD. I'm actually from Omaha, Nebraska, and I did my undergrad at Iowa in biology and genetics. Then I had an internship with Monsanto afterwards, where I sort of got interested in plant genetics and the breeding aspect side of things, and that prompted me to go to the University of Wisconsin for my PhD in plant breeding and plant genetics, where I worked with Shelley Jansky and Dennis Halterman on potato disease breeding. So I did a lot of molecular work to identify the mechanisms of a particular fungal disease, verticillium wilt, in potato, and I also did some classical breeding for two of the other diseases, fungal diseases, early blight and late blight. So a lot of my experience comes from phenotyping, and then towards the end of my tenure there, I had some experience doing some next generation sequencing, my favorite clone, and that sort of turned me on to the bioinformatics side of things, and seeing the power come from that, that sort of pushed me in the direction of moving towards a more bioinformatics-based biology program, and I stumbled upon Dr. Jaswald's lab, and the rest is history.
So I just published in Botanical Review a 100-page paper entitled Systematics, Diversity, Genetics, and Evolution of Wild and Cultivated Potatoes.
Sounds like a good one.
David Spooner.
Yeah.
And group, whom I'm sure you know.
Yep, absolutely.
I'll have to send you a copy. It just came out in December.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot. I mean, that's Shelley, her whole thing was, she has a breeding program, but most of her breeding is kind of free breeding. She takes wild germplasm and tries to integrate it into cultivated. So it's there's a lot of ploidy that goes on. You know, you have to work with the diploid to tetraploid conversion.
Well, isn't there a whole genome duplication in that clade?
Yeah. Most of
it. More than one.
I think so, yeah.
But cool. Yeah. Anyway, I thought I'd tell you about the paper. All right. Yeah. So are you at Oregon State?
I am now, But I was.
Yes.
No, I can send you a copy of it there because I have some extra copies.
Yeah. Hopefully I'll have my Oregon State email and I'll put that on the wiki. So
I'll send you a physical one.
Oh.
Just because the cover's cool.
All right.
Can you guys see the cover?
Lower it down a little bit. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I like
with
that.
The potato peels in a double helix.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Dennis, okay. Were you working on a thing, article for the Botanical Review?
Who?
You were. Wasn't there some talk about something you were doing for Botanical Review? Or maybe
I edited.
Yeah, you edited, but
yeah,
there was a book chapter or something you were working on that we had talked about. You were going to use the ontologies in, or maybe I'm confused.
Oh, I think I'm doing something for Stefan Renzi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Well,
can I just introduce some other business?
Sure.
Now, because we have everyone together, and it occurred to me that this is a topic which we need to discuss sooner rather than later, in any case. So I think you all know that every year we have the International Conference on Biomedical Ontology.
Yes.
And this year it's in Lisbon. Now, last year it was in Houston. We have every year a kind of online committee meeting in which we consider applicants for the venue for the following year, which would be 2016 now. Mm-hmm. Now, we have talked already about having Oregon State jointly with OHSU host this at some stage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is for you, Pankaj, although Dennis may be affected also, because it occurs to me that if we did it at Oregon State, then we could have Dennis as a keynote speaker.
Yeah.
So I think he probably is a good speaker with his potato peels and things.
You want to, Barry, you want to propose for 2016?
So we're going to be sending out a call for proposals quite soon, because we always like to announce the following year's venue at the end of this year's conference, and this year's conference is next month.
Mm-hmm.
So I would, in fact, it's this month, it's the end of this month, so I would suggest that you submit a proposal, and you have to make a decision whether you want to do this by yourselves or whether you want to do it with OHSU.
What I can do is I can resend the proposal that I sent last year.
Okay, why don't you send that to me?
Yeah.
And then I will send it to the committee, and then we'll have the starting hurdles cleared.
Yeah, because I did it with Melissa last year. Melissa,
yes.
Right. OHSU together to be hosted here in Corvallis.
Yes.
we did all the plan and budgeting and everything.
Good. So just resend it to me and I will send it to the committee and then we can start the process.
And I believe it rotates between Europe and US.
Exactly, yeah. And I think Oregon is still in the US, just about.
Yeah, we haven't broken off yet, floated away. You never know. So it's in Lisbon at the end of July?
End of June.
End of June. Yeah. Oh, so it's very...
Actually, end of July, you're right. It's next month, yes.
Because the end of June might be a little early.
I have that proposal, so I can...
It seems like it would make sense to partner with OHSU.
Yeah.
Yeah, and bring in a bigger audience.
And OSU has all the meeting organization facilities, so they can take care of all that. So I'll send you the proposal again.
Yeah, good. And it was during the summer, so it's easier to...
Yes.
To manage that. Well, that'd be...
So that would be one issue that you would have to address, the appropriate date. So we always had it initially, I think towards the end of October thereabouts. But I think summer is preferred by a larger number of people.
Summer is perfect because then we can provide the cheap housing in the dorms.
Good.
Yeah, or early September.
$35-$40 per week.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
all right. Interesting. I'll go back to sleep now.
So any other updates that people want to bring up before we move along in this agenda?
I do have another point that I would like to raise officially, and I think we should start to write down principles that we can all agree to. So there is the crop ontologies, as I understand it, which are primarily owned by Elizabeth. She is the editor-in-chief.
Right.
And then there is the CROP, the Common Reference Ontologies for Plants initiative, which is a bit like the Oboe Foundry. Am I right so far? Okay.
Right, we're sort of trying to move away from the CROP name, which is why we call ourselves Plantium.
Okay, so I think the CROP name or something like it is important, and you would still need something like the Plantium Ontology Initiative or something.
Right.
Because the Plantium Project involves much more than just ontology development.
Right, right.
So whatever we call it, the Plantium Ontology Consortium, we need to have a name and we need to have a clear statement of how it relates to the crop ontologies and also a clear statement of how we're going to gradually transport the crop ontology content into a format which is compatible with the other CROP or Plantium ontology.
Right.
Because at the moment there's a lot of very loose cross-referencing, which is going to cause problems because if you cross-reference anatomy terms for banana, let's say, into the plant ontology, but you keep your original hierarchy, which is quite different from the plant ontology anatomy hierarchy, then you're going to get problems. You're going to get just the kind of forking that we're trying to avoid.
Right, right. We don't want to duplicate things.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are great things to keep in mind as we kind of move ahead and have discussions about.
It is important also because Plantium refers to a very broader project. Which includes the annotations, includes the image annotation, and the reference ontologies for plants.
So maybe we call it the Plantium Reference Ontology Project, or CROP.
Yeah.
Or so CROP. but in any case, we need a name and we need a small set of agreements between Elizabeth and her group and everyone else about how we're going to manage the evolution of these two collections over time.
Absolutely. It's great things to discuss.
Yes. I'll come up with something.
Yeah.
And send it to you guys.
Good.
We need to find a time that Elizabeth can take part in the discussions as well. So, yes. Yeah.
So I would call crop ontologies that Elizabeth has as a multitude or a segment of application ontologies for plants.
Yeah. Let me just... Yeah. I put a note on our agenda. I don't know if you folks are looking at it. I can share my screen. But let's see. I put a note on here from last week of the, we have some new information on our wiki about the crop ontology pages. So we have some pages on the wiki about the crop ontology now. We went over this a couple weeks ago, so I probably don't want to spend time on it. I just want to point it out. So the list of the crops that are covered, their IDs, the prefixes within them, and we've been having some discussions about updating the number space to make it consistent. So Chris has been involved with that, and how the trait template is laid out. Marie Angelique put a lot of information on here for us, so this will be really helpful as we move ahead. So there is a link to that from our agenda today, if anybody wants to explore that a little bit more.
And then the strategy would be to take one or two of these IBCCO ontologies and rebuild them as genuine application ontologies based on the PO. And I would take an anatomy one. So
yeah, there's only two anatomy ones, really. Yeah. They're wheat and maize, I believe. Is that right, Marie Angelique?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay,
more stages, so developmental stages.
Yeah. I think the anatomy is better as a starting point because the anatomy is clearer and it's less dependent upon dividing up stages of development in ways which involve picking a number like 12 and then making that list of stages mean something in a scientific sense, where the anatomy has much less of that. That's where I would start. And then we would learn a lot just by doing that in an experimental way.
Yeah. So what we were planning to do today on the call is Marie Angelique was going to show us some work she's been doing on mapping between one of the trait ontologies, or I'm not exactly sure. I don't want to put words in your mouth, Marie Angelique, but yeah, it's mapping between the wheat and the TO. Maybe I'll let you.
If you prefer, I did the same job, the same work with the banana anatomy ontology and PO.
So we can look at that.
So can I say something? So I much prefer that you start with the anatomy. And here the reason is even more powerful. I do not believe that the trait ontology is yet in good enough shape to make any kind of experiment along these lines worthwhile, because the trait ontology itself is not yet conformant to the principle, where the plant anatomy ontology is in good shape.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So okay. Let's do banana.
Okay.
Why don't you go ahead, Mary Andrew, and show us. Yeah, I'll stop my sharing.
I have to find first where I...
Okay.
Put the results. Notebooks. So screen sharing
should be kind of down at the bottom of the window.
Yeah. Can you see my screen? Is that okay?
Sure, I could make it bigger. Yes, we can.
So, I tried to map using the AML tool, the plant ontology and the banana anatomy ontology. And these are the results. So there were 150 classes in the banana anatomy ontology, and we got the tool found 40 mappings. No, 61 mappings. 40 mappings were cross references were already in the file. The tool found 61 mappings. And only 20 mappings on the 40 that were initially present are shared by the tool. So the green one, the line in green, where correspond to the maybe I can.
Yeah, maybe you could make it a little bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be great.
Is that okay?
There we go. That's better. Yeah, that helps.
Okay. So, for example, we have leaf in the plant ontology. Mm-hmm. And there is also leaf for banana. But the issue was, oh, is this too much? Okay. And the reason why this line is in orange is just because, in the banana anatomy ontology, the leaf was linked to the vascular leaf in the plant ontology. So I don't know which one is. So yeah, so that's the result.
So tell us again, so the one that's in the banana ontology is, it's mapped to leaf.
So right this now. Is the banana ontology and this is a PO ontology.
Right.
And so this is only the matches.
Right, right.
So we, on the 150 terms that we have in the anatomy ontology, I was able to find 60 mappings candidate mappings. So that's the results.
So Marie-Angelique, can you give me, if you know the answer to this question, the reason why the banana ontology uses the term leaf rather than banana leaf?
I don't know.
So it seems to me that this is a mistake that the plant ontology itself made. So originally the plant ontology had the term cell, and the term cell was defined in the plant ontology as a plant cell. And that was a mistake, because then if the plant ontology user ever needed to refer, for instance, to a bacterial cell, then the ontology would allow the inference that every bacterial cell is a plant cell. And similarly, if the users of the banana ontology ever have to talk to people who are interested in other plant species, then when they use the term leaf, they're going to face a problem, because they can't compare a banana leaf with another leaf, because they don't have a word for banana leaf.
Right. So, but Barry, I believe this ontology was designed by the banana community. So they're not going to use the term banana leaf. They're going to use the term leaf.
There is an idea which the Go uses, that you create slims for specific communities.
So
and I think that using synonyms, we could create a slim for the banana community, which would just show the terms that they like to use. And they like to use the term leaf to mean banana leaf. But the ontology from which that slim is drawn still needs to be built. So we still need a banana anatomy ontology, which can then be stored alongside the wheat anatomy ontology and the wood anatomy ontology and so forth, as application ontology extensions from the plant anatomy ontology generally.
So I think that is technically possible as one of the exact synonym or something like that. But for the purpose of mapping and by adding the synonym on our side, we just have to prefix all these terms with banana.
Exactly.
Or have this term as a synonym. But provide a synonym category saying this is a subset of banana, and that's what it is. So you can.
So I think that the prime term should be banana leaf, and the synonym should be leaf, and the synonym should be marked as being for use by the banana community. So I think this is very important, because I'll tell you a story about what happened when we created the infectious disease ontology. So the infectious disease ontology is like the plant ontology. It's an ontology which applies to all infectious diseases, whether bacterial or viral, or whether in cows or pigs or people. And then once we had this core infectious disease ontology, we could create very easily bacterial infectious disease ontology, viral infectious disease ontology, bacterial infectious disease ontology for human hosts, bacterial ontology for human host with fly, vector, and so on. And that made the whole process of keeping track of all the infectious disease ontology data much more systematic. And I think you probably know that infectious diseases like Staph aureus, they mutate very quickly. So you have methicillin-resistant Staph aureus, you have hospital methicillin-resistant Staph aureus, you have Australian hospital methicillin-resistant Staph aureus, and so on. So there are 115 strains of Staph aureus with important patient populations at the moment. We can keep track of all of those terms for all of those different diseases without any problems within the framework that we built. Now, I think that in the plantiome, you have the same opportunity. And when you start dealing with diseases, you'll have the same kinds of needs there too. But if you're going to do that, then you need to build each part in a boringly specific way so that the term banana appears 1,000 times in the Banana Anatomy Ontology official editor's version and then disappears for the banana people. That was a piece of evangelism.
So you see what it is, what Barry is trying to say is that based on your ID ranges, you may be able to add banana as a prefix while doing this mapping in on the reference ontology side. But when you serve it to the banana community, computationally you can hide it or you can remove the banana prefix from that.
Yeah.
That's what he's trying to say.
Is it on a prefix or on a pref term or the name?
Prefix. It's on the name.
Term name.
And then another neat consequence of doing it this way is that rather than talking about mappings, which are problematic in a number of ways, particularly when the artifact on both sides of the mapping is changing at different rates over time. So it's very hard to keep mappings up to date. You will have a simple relation. Banana leaf is a leaf. You just have a subclass relation. And that's much more useful than a mapping because you can reason with it. And you can reason with it. You know that every banana leaf is a leaf.
Are you suggesting that these should be in the PO?
No, the banana plant anatomy ontology should be an extension ontology built downwards from the PO. So we have a kind of lattice of ontologies with the PO at the top.
So and so they would be leaves on the hierarchical tree. But I find this goes against everything that we've been kind of trained to, the way that we've been trained to think about this. Because for example, some of these leaves like the cigar leaf, that was created specifically for banana as a child of leaf because it's a subclass of a type of the vascular leaf.
Good. Now,
leaf, it's not really very meaningful.
Good. So this is exactly the kind of conversation we need to have because we'll understand now what the structure should be. So let me just ask you a question. Are cigar leaves always and only in bananas?
No.
Okay, so then the term cigar leaf properly belongs to the plant ontology, and the term banana cigar leaf properly belongs to the banana ontology.
That is true, but as of this moment, I don't. This term specifically were brought in with the reference to banana. We don't know if people in other communities call one of their outcoming or the very topmost leaf,
yes,
not yet opened up completely, yeah, is the one which is your cigar leaf.
It's okay, but then that's an empirical question which we have to address anyway.
Another example is flag leaf, and mm-hmm, that is the topmost leaf in majority of the grass plants, just below the inflorescence. So that is a very generic one. So that's what we have in that sense.
I think I need help from Dennis here.
But I think the point, Barry, is that...
He's muted.
Dennis, well, Barry muted. Barry can hear...
No, Dennis is muted. No, he's muted. He's trying to say something.
I can unmute him.
To unmute. Okay, so I've been listening to this, and I'm sort of with Barry on this at some level. And I see the idea, and this notion that the word cigar leaf could be used in a broad sense if you wanted to do it for anything in the Zingiberales.
Right.
Or the common Linnaeales, where you have what's called involute vernation or Tixis. So if I understand this correctly, we would think to, we have this word leaf, then we have this word cigar leaf, which is a subset, which basically could be defined as involute Tixis. And then we could have banana cigar leaf versus Maranta cigar leaf or something like that. Am I following this correctly?
Exactly, yes.
And now, my question would become then, Barry, if we have, would we, so if you have a banana ontology, which is basically, I guess, what we have as a subset, would we then have to have, looking at the list here, like banana petiole lamina?
Yeah.
And, okay, so every one of these things would get the adjective banana on them.
Yeah, and the structure is exactly what we have now because the number is different. So at the moment, we have two terms cigar leaf. One is with a PO number and one with a CO125 number.
Oh, I see that,
so
yes.
You're not going to be adding any extra content here. You're just going to be making the terms explicit in a way which will become very important. Let me give you one more example. The International Classification of Nursing Phenomena 10 years ago had a definition of water. Water is, and this is a literal definition, a nursing phenomenon which is indispensable for all animal and plant life. Now, from this you can infer that there is a chemical substance which is, there is a nursing phenomenon which is indispensable for all plant life.
Uh-huh.
It's a mistake. It's just a simple mistake.
Well, yeah, but Barry, they're called nurseries.
Yeah, but the nurseries are not indispensable for all plant life.
Ah, okay.
So we don't want to make mistakes like that. And
the way
to avoid such mistakes is to make sure that terms are always on their face value what they refer to. So leaf here does not refer to leaf. It refers to banana leaf.
Banana leaf. Leaf in terms of CO125-0002.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That makes sense.
So if I understand it correctly, if we are looking on the reference ontology side of the PO, we can add a synonym, banana leaf, with a reference to CO or whichever is the ID for that, CO331:001, that is the reference. So in our and provide a subset belongs to banana or synonym.
Yeah, so
we could.
So I think that we need to think in terms of strategy on two levels. One is what should Marie Angelique be building? I think she should be building.
But she's not building these, Barry. What
should she be building if she were building anything? She would be building application ontologies which are properly structured, roughly along the lines I just said.
And
the next issue is how should we fit the result of building these application ontologies against the background of the crop ontologies which Elizabeth is in charge of? I think that's the second question.
Right.
Just
interject here real quick.
Yeah.
I think that we're getting a little confused by looking at this table because, and we can double check this and make sure that I'm saying this correctly, but this term CO125-002 just has a reference to leaf, the PO leaf term in it. That's not that's not necessarily the actual name. Is it, Miranda? It is. Or is this part of the definition? Could we go and look at the anatomy, the MUSA anatomy ontology?
It's on the website?
Yeah, on your website.
So if I'm looking at it in this spreadsheet, the target ID for that is 0002.
Right.
And the target info.
That's what we're just going to look at.
Yeah.
Because I think that that's part of the definition, not, that's not, that this is not the ID.
That is a cross-reference.
Yeah, it's a cross-reference.
I don't know. Well, sometimes the cross-reference is ahead before the term name, sometimes it's...
And like, I totally understand where Barry's coming from on this, but we have the conversation that we had 2 weeks ago about the CO, what this is for. You know, we're not going to go in and create anatomy ontologies for all 20 species.
Let me talk. Okay. So, Mary Angelique, before you can go ahead and try to find the definition or something. But in the meantime, what I understand it correctly is that sometimes you have an ontology formatted vocabulary for these crops like rice and maize and banana, for example. Sometimes you may not have the ontologies. It's just a plain descriptor list in some kind of a tab-delimited file or an Excel file. In that situation, what might happen is that if you created this mapping based on just the descriptors, then you may be able to recreate an ontology or regenerate an ontology file for that species based on the mapping, rather than actually working on creating it.
Yeah, I agree. But Pankaj, we already have for all, even for the trad dictionary, we are already building a sort of ontology. A sort of hierarchy because we don't have only the descriptor or the trad, we also have the method and the scales. So to use the method, all of this, we need to build something.
So can I make a suggestion? We only have a small number of anatomy ontologies built in the crop collection.
Yeah.
Choose one which we don't have an anatomy ontology for. Take the plant anatomy ontology. Give me an example of a plant. Avocado.
Wheat.
Okay. Take the word wheat. Write the word wheat in front of every single term in the plant ontology and look at the result and see how much of it is now valid. If the plant ontology, so some of it won't work because there are some things which wheat doesn't have, which other plants do have. So they're in the plant ontology, but they need to be deleted. Some few things will be wrong. And we will learn, we may need to make changes in the plant ontology because of those few things. But I bet you it will be largely correct. If it's not largely correct, then Dennis and Ramon and Laurel and Pankaj and I need to retire and leave people to do the job properly, because it should be correct. That was what we built it for. I'll give you an example of where I think we will learn something. So for the banana case, you have bunch. Now,
yes.
And bunch in the banana ontology is a kind of inflorescence in the plant ontology. I think it's clear that we need to have the word bunch in the plant ontology because there are bunches of grapes. So that
grapes just hit me on that, yeah.
Yeah, so this is something that will help the plant ontology get better precisely in the way that we all desire, namely the more we learn about specific plants, the more we understand about the common structure of plants in general. So there's a feedback backwards and forwards. So this is an experiment. Just take the plant ontology, add the word wheat to every term, and see, and check the first 50 terms and see how many of them look right.
Okay.
This is called...
but there will be inapplicables, right, Barry? There'll be a lot of inapplicables because wheat does not have the structure.
Okay, so we should go through the plant ontology at a high level and remove all the inapplicable branches and then just build the wheat anatomy ontology using the applicable branches.
Oh, I see what you're doing. Okay, so you're building a wheat ontology I get the picture. So, for example, wheat doesn't have wood, so all the wood stuff just disappears.
Exactly. You don't need. Yeah.
So when you remove everything that doesn't exist in wheat, you should have basically a wheat ontology.
Yeah, but now you make it into a wheat ontology by giving every term a week separate.
Yeah.
And sometimes you will need to change the term because the wheat people have their own terms for those.
Right. Things. Well, then you have the synonym issue.
Yeah, then you have the synonym.
You know, it sort of depends which side we want to work from. Do we want to work from the application ontologies, or do we want to work from the reference ontologies?
So I think that
a lot of work from the reference ontology side and put in those terms and synonyms and subsets so that we can do that. But from the other side, I mean, I don't think we really have a mandate to go in and build ontologies.
But this is an experiment.
Right.
It will take a day at the most.
We have a format.
Uh-huh.
Well, that is so maybe more.
All right. See this thing.
I thought Pankaj was going to be sending me a message to keep quiet.
Take a look at it. On your left-hand side, let's say if this is the reference ontology, right? And you have the three terminal terms A, B, and C in the reference ontologies. Now, Mary Angelique, for example, in the middle, does the mapping of these ontologies. Her ontologies, like say banana A, banana B, and banana C are the terms. It may be in the ontological format, or it may be just in a glossary format, right? You do the mappings, and you find the mappings that these are the correct mappings. Now go back and add them as synonyms or recreate a banana tree based on, pull out the reference one, but add the banana terms as child of the A, B, and C. And that is the ontology that you would be using probably for serving the banana community. Is that what Barry?
That is what I'm proposing. So on the left, you take the plant anatomy ontology with all the branches deleted, which are irrelevant to wheat.
Yeah.
And then on the right, you just add wheat C, wheat B, wheat A.
Yeah.
And see what you get. And it may be completely ugly and completely.
So this is something like this would appear. There is a D over here.
And there's a D which is never in wheat. So the D dies.
That way, you would actually look at this tree that you get it on your right hand side to act. Do some evolutionary analysis too, why that particular branch of the anatomy was lost.
So, and that raises another issue. Not only would this be more efficient, where we don't have any existing application ontology in the crop collection, it will also be more useful for doing what Pankaj just said, because we can compare different species almost exactly from the anatomical point of view, because they all share most of the plant ontology structure, which of course is correct. That plant ontology structure is what their evolution built into them. That's how they evolve.
So in that essence, what would happen is, if everything goes well, all you have to do maintain is a glossary of terms, and then Marie-Angelique, you're creating, let's say, a Musa ontology. Right? Then for the anatomy section, you would go and recreate the anatomy section based on the mapping. You don't have to maintain your own version. Right? In that particular class of your ontology would be just recreated computationally. Can be created computationally. Whereas because, right? And same way, if it is for the traits, you would be able to, once the trait ontology is ready, you would be able to do it for traits as well from that side. But how that community, because otherwise it's a lot of maintenance of the actual relationships in your own community, saying that that there is a lot of manual labor involved in maintaining the hierarchy and the classes and parent and child relationships manually in the field.
Well, most of these are not.
Most of these are not, but
spreadsheets.
But they are spreadsheets, but somebody would have to define what is the relationship. Right? Even though they are spreadsheets, somebody would have to come and tell you that leaf is part of a stem or a shoot, or banana leaf lamina is part of leaf, actually. So somebody would have to redefine. So instead of them working on that side, let the reference ontology guide the relationships. You don't have to worry about that. It's the job of the reference ontologies to define the relationships. Rest everybody projective.
Yeah, I totally agree. But, you know, in our community, for example, for the categories, so the agronomical traits, you know, these categories are used in the BMS, so the breeding management system, for people to select their traits. So somehow the term agronomical traits has to appear. So they could just load the data in the field book and go and fill them. So you see, it's not just it's useful for us.
I agree on that side, and I think that's why Barry is saying that let's focus on the anatomy side, because anatomy, everybody agrees on that side. Traits, people have their own traits, and people have their own notion on how they are going to use it, whether it is agronomy or it is anatomy, or if, depending on the expertise of the person. You may look at the potato tuber size and give it to five different breeders. If I have my training in agronomy, I would just say it is a yield-related trait. If you give it to a taxonomist, he will say it's an anatomy-related trait because the size went up. And if you give it to a molecular biologist or biotechnologist, he will say something else, right? Same way, if you have a purple potato, you give it to a biochemist, he will say it's just anthocyanin content was increased. But another guy who would come from medicinal field, he will say it's a nutritional value in it. So depending on how you take it. But I'm pretty sure if that particular term, anthocyanin or purple tomato or purple potato you're looking at as a trait, then it will have, five different relationships to different categories, depending on which how you classify it or how your breeder community uses them. Then out of those five, at least one or two will always overlap with the concept of all that classical breeders are always using it, right? So there would be some, they would still be able to find the categories that they are trying to get in.
Okay.
Yeah. So anything which is nutritional value is also an agronomy trait. Anything that is disease resistant is also an agronomy trait because it is ultimately going to contribute to the yield.
I agree. Category is not very consistent, but
right. Everything for crops is all associated with yield at some
level. Yeah. The agronomic class is
so
is
agronomy
very broad.
is a very, very nasty beast at this point of time. Same way I would just say if you're looking at rice, you're putting more number of grains on the plant, their option is either you rescue it through the disease resistance, or you put more number of branches and more number of florets. And if I show it to a taxonomist, he will say it's just more number of branching. It has nothing to do with florets. If the branches are there, the florets would always be there. So it's a concept that is in our head. We try to categorize things. It's a human character.
Depends on your perspective.
Because we look at patterns and try to profile this thing. Otherwise, if you remove that pattern, people would just be, everything is just uniform in that sense. Yep. So what I was thinking is that let's say if you did the mapping to the PO anatomy curves, right?
Yeah.
For banana. And you found 61 matches.
Yes.
Right? So can you do me, I mean, what Barry's suggesting, can we do a test case? Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, test case is take our plant anatomy file. Borrow it from the SVM. Add a synonym, right? Add a synonym to it, saying
synonym or subclasses.
Just add synonym right now.
Okay.
Synonym. So create a synonym, and put a prefix in that, and your term name.
So banana leaf 40, for example.
Yes, and add a cross reference to CO term ID, right?
Okay, using XREF because I'm not I don't know very well OBO, so when I have to add a synonym, which kind of synonym do I have to add?
No,
you know, because I'm not very comfortable with the narrow synonyms and broad synonyms.
Would be a narrow synonym.
right now, just go ahead and use it as...
it would be a narrow synonym.
I'm just going to show you.
I think our goal here is that all the synonyms should be exact synonyms.
Exact.
Yeah, so the leaf that is currently in the banana anatomy ontology should be an exact synonym of the term banana leaf, which will be in the reference version of the banana anatomy ontology.
But not in the reference ontology. That would be a narrow synonym
of ontology. Your term is leaf blade. Add a prefix banana to it and add a synonym row in the whichever mapped term that you have.
Okay, in the PO file, yeah, okay.
In the PO anatomy, PO file, okay? And add to that synonym, what you have, here add a cross-reference, which is your ID, right? This is the mapping of your ID of the leaf blade that you have. Now, save this file as a PO file or a PO banana version, right? Now, okay. Now what you do is another round is transfer this synonym and create it as a child, take it out from the synonym and take it out and create this version.
Okay.
Right?
In the PO file too.
PO file, in the PO file.
Okay.
And that would be your banana anatomy ontology. So for these 61 terms, you would be able to say, the actual PO had X number of branches or X number of terms, whereas your banana projected ontology shows up only 61 terms. Or,
yes.
Right? Okay. So this is your version. And since your breeders are mainly concerned by the terminal for the annotation purposes or for search purposes, they are mainly involved only with the banana version of the subclasses. So then it doesn't matter whether the tree comes from PO or where it comes from, basically. But they would still be able to search on these terms. And make sure in this case, you remove the banana away from the name. Or if you want...
What's the ID? What? Or do I have to deal with the ID?
ID you can...
For subclasses.
You can put your CO as your ID.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't want to add a new term to the PO called banana.
You can always have another relationship thing.
Yeah. This is sort of theoretical, but it'd be
just a test and see how it appears, and we can see how it appears in Amigo as well as in
we've really worked really hard to avoid having any terms in the PO with things like
I'm not talking about the PO.
A taxonomy name.
This is a stepwise process, how you would like to do it, and then transform it into an automated process. Let's see how it works. And if,
if I could just, my take on this is, this is a way to generate economic plant ontologies. Right, so it's a way to almost automate generating an ontology for cacao or whatever.
Yes, yeah.
In a sense.
So in essence, what we are trying to do is these upper level hierarchies that people are trying to generate. They don't have to spend time on creating these relationships because that relationships are already defined and classified by an expert group. Right. All they matter is the subclasses. If the subclasses are mapped appropriately, then those relationships should work. If they do not work, then they have to come back and tell the reference guys that, hey, this relationship does not work for me. Can you fix
it? Yeah, I think it's a test. It's a test for all these, too.
It's a test for the work that we have done for anatomy as well.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, I like it. I like it very much. I mean, it just makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
You know what it's like? It's like when you have a phylogenetic tree, you reconstruct the so-called common ancestor that's extinct, but you do it by mapping onto the tree. And that's really what this is. This is mapping on to a particular item that we want to know. We map all the ontology onto it, and then we find the things that are not are inapplicable. And the remainder then should be an accurate ontology.
Yeah.
Okay.
or if it's, there's an inaccuracy, then we can go and we can correct things, which is a perfect way to work. It's like reciprocal illumination in phylogenetics.
This comes to another solution as well. And Barry, tell me whether it is right or wrong. The way, if we have added these syllables over here, right? All she can do is select only the terms that have synonym with a cross-reference to CL and drop all the terms from the original reference tree, and that is your actual tree.
I think that's right, yes.
Then you don't have to create the subclasses.
Do you mean you don't have to create the subclasses, or do you mean you don't have to assert the subclass relations additionally?
You don't have to assert the subclass relationship, because only the terms that have the banana synonym, only those terms stay in the tree. Rest everything goes away for banana.
Okay. If you do that properly in such a way that the your result remembers the plant ontology mother term.
Yeah.
Right.
Then you're in good shape.
Otherwise, you just.
So the plant ontology is the mother. All of these ontologies are children.
Yeah. So
eventually, we might need grandchildren. So, as in the case of Staph aureus, methicillin-resistant Australian hospital strain.
So I'm just making what another one be. So it would look like more like this. So you would not create the subclasses, but you would retain only the terms that have banana synonym in your classes. So only those terms of the tree are retained.
Exactly. So for banana purposes, you don't need to know all this stuff about plants.
Yes.
But somebody needs to know all that stuff about plants in order to manage the entire edifice of plantio knowledge.
And in that situation, what would happen is you would not add an additional term with a new term ID. It will continue to stay in the PO.
Now there, I'm not so sure. That I think we should leave to the banana community.
No, but that is true. But if that relationship does not work, this relationship does not work for the book. I just say, where is it? It's a if this relationship does not work for the banana community, then they will have to tell us, hey, this is...
So I'm a strong believer in modularity. So whatever we do, we have to make sure that we have one module, which is the mother module, and another module, which is the banana module, and another module, which is the wheat module, and so on.
Right. So, Marie-Angelique, let's try the subclass one, and we can think about whether we go the subclass route or we create... select the tree only for the terms that have the banana symbol. But process is more or less the same.
Yeah.
Only step thing is that we do not recreate the subclasses in the second example that I just showed. Yeah?
Right now we're using the subset class, so that's another way to extract the terms that you want is by using the subsets.
So because in that case, what we are trying to do is somebody comes to the reference ontology side and say, show me only the section of the tree that is applicable to banana. Yeah? And show me only the ones which is applicable to wheat. And you will find which section of the tree is having a difference in the overlap. Which ones overlap, which section of the tree overlaps, which ones do not.
And what about the terms that I won't be able to map? For example,
let's try with what we are able to map.
Okay.
If we are not able to map, somebody who should have to go and manually look at it, why they did not map, and if there is an equivalence, see if we can do it by hand.
Okay.
Yeah, we can explore this a little more.
Those aren't that many. You already got almost half of it. So it's a matter of a couple of days to see, sit down and do it by hand. And if there's a possibility that those terms do not exist or the synonyms do not exist. And if those things do not exist, then we will have to work on the reference side.
Okay.
Yeah, we can continue.
Or provide an alternative that you can map it to a narrow synonym, which is your higher order hierarchy in the original field. You go to the next parent instead of the actual terminal term. Right? That is what the reasoning would build in, because if you don't find an exact match, can you go a little up in the tree to map?
Yeah. Well, Angelique, are the mappings in this banana file. I don't see them in here.
Yes, go to the leaf, for example.
Uh-huh.
Return to the concept leaf.
Yes.
And you see XREF.
Oh, here it is. It's an XREF.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
I see. Yeah. Okay, good.
Yes.
So okay, let's
do
we'll
this
continue.
Example test and see what we can do. Can you work?
Okay, and where can I publish the results? On GitHub, is that okay?
Yes.
To share the results with
you,
okay.
Maybe in the banana, the banana repo.
Okay.
In the
banana repository, you can publish those. That's not a problem.
Yeah, and then we could look. Yeah,
but let's take a look at that and next, I don't know when you would be able to do it, but you should be able to give us a presentation on how. Yes, right?
Yeah, and we can talk about it a little bit more if you need specifics to discuss it. Yeah, that's great. Thanks very much, Marie-Angelique, for working on those mappings.
I have a question about the term that's up right now. Is this like only applicable to bananas, I assume?
This term?
Banana ontology, yeah.
Leaf sheath is a much more broader term. That's why I'm asking.
Right. But this is how the banana people define it.
Okay, that's fine. Just making sure it's the banana ontology.
Musa anatomy, yeah.
So I think that...
And that's another reason, Barry, to do what you said. That's another reason for this term to be banana leaf sheath.
Or maybe musa.
Because it's a specialized one. It's different than the leaf sheath that's used in many other groups of plants.
I don't know if I would call it banana leaf sheath,
so
maybe musa.
What this is,
well, I'll tell you what, corn has sheathing leaves, but it doesn't have a pseudostem.
Right. Maize. Right. I'm just saying maybe it'd be better to use the Latin name than the common name.
You raise a good point there, because sometimes different things have the same common names, but they never have different Latin names.
Yeah. Really. I mean, that's sort of a...
That may be a synonymy thing we can deal with.
It is a pseudostem, but probably if you're looking, there might be some characteristics of the stem sturdiness or hardiness genes might be going up in this expression. But more or less, it is not at all a stem.
No, it's a bunch of leaves.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not a bunch of leaf
sheets. It's
leaves
all rolled
leaf
up.
Sheets
yeah.
coming together to give a hardiness in the
Okay. Well, I think we probably need to wrap up here. I've got it. Meetings coming on, and great discussions here, everybody. And
That's really good today.
So tomorrow morning Oregon time, we're going to have the all hands meeting. I just want to remind everybody about that. So it'll be a more general discussion. I don't know who all is available to take part again tomorrow.
Laurel, you could I won't come to the all hands meeting, but you could mention the ICBO issue. And maybe try and treat ICBO as an opportunity for the all plant community to make its mark in the ICBO world. So there are a number of opportunities here.
Okay. Yeah. And Marie-Angelique, we can talk some more about this next week.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, thanks everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Bye.
I hope Angelique doesn't hate me.
No
one does.
The contrary, totally the contrary. I agree. Yeah.
Good. It's good to have these theoretical discussions. It'd be good if we could get Elizabeth involved in the discussion too.
Yeah.
As we move ahead, we will. We'll find a time that we can work Elizabeth in as well. So thanks very much, everybody.
Thank you.